thank you for that opportunity. This evening, I'd like to spend a couple minutes discussing the topic or the idea of nisyonos, nisayon. A nisayon we normally would translate as a challenge, something, you know, difficult, a difficulty that we might face. You know, and then first hearing the word nisayon, we think about these tremendously difficult challenges that lay ahead of us in life. We might think about, I don't know, financial challenges that we're going to be approaching. We might think about theological problems that's going to hit us when we hit the real world. Or even problems of, you know, do I marry this girl? Do I marry that girl? Does the Shemesh have a choice? We might be thinking about what college is and how to deal with it. But the truth is that nisyonos don't only have to be about the larger issues in life. Nisyonos can even be an issue for us with the more minor things. I would say that at least every day, perhaps every hour, where we have challenges and we have issues that we have to deal with, and really not a day should go by where we don't have to evaluate our next move. And so tonight, Bezrat Hashem, in the next, I don't know how many minutes, I'd like to explain why we have nisyonos, challenges, obstacles, opportunities, and what we can gain from that. I'd like to begin with something that Ramchal says in Mesilas Yesharim. Mesilas Yesharim, I have to say, is one of my a sefer that's very dear to my heart. I'll tell you why. It's not because you know, I don't listen to everything it says. I wish I listened to everything it says, but this is just like a personal, unrelated, parenthetical personal story that maybe we should give you some different. When I was in Smicha in YU, I had a chavrusa. I'm not going to mention his name, and he used to come late every day. He came 10 minutes late every day. Because he had to go pick up a muffin and a coffee, and he used to drive me crazy. I thought, I was married at the time, he was single. I thought, if I'm a married guy, I can get out of my house and be in Seder on time, like the least single guy could do is be there on time also. And for like 2 or 3 weeks, I was like very angry, like, you know, during Seder. I'm sure you've been angry before this before, like during Seder, like talk to him, you know? You guys ever have that? Okay, well, I had that. And I thought to myself one day, I said, you know, it's 10 minutes, and I can do something very productive these next 10 minutes. So for those, for the rest of the year, I spent 10 minutes a day learning Mitzvot Sharim. And Baruch Hashem, I finished the Sefer over the course of the next 8 months. So that's something that I think, you know, something if I could do it, certainly you guys can do it. What I hear, you're such a fantastic group. Okay. So Ramchal says, Ramchal discusses our issue of nisyonos as follows. Says, look at number one, the Mar Makomos, we all know Ramosha Chaim Lutzato. Namtinu lemeidim, we see, we learn, ki ikar mitziyut ha'adam ba'olam hazeh, hu rak lekayim mitzvot, hu la'avod, hu la'amod b'nisayon. Says Ramchal that we have this threefold mission in this world, is to b'kayim mitzvahs, to do avoda, whatever that means, like maybe that's tefillah, maybe that's Talmud Torah, v'la'amod b'nisayon, and to withstand the nisyon of the come away. And the pleasures of this world is only to help us out. And that this world is basically only here to help us accomplish our goals. So if we take a step back, I'm sure we've all learned this before, this line in the beginning of Perek Aleph Mesilas Yesharim, but we take a step back and we see there's something a little bit weird, a little bit odd. Because if I had to think of perhaps the three most important things that go into the ingredients of my mission in this world, I don't know if I would have picked these three. Remember, the Mesilas Yesharim said three things. He said, L'kai mitzvos, la'avod, la'amod b'nisayon. Certainly, I think the first two, great. I understand why I have to be l'kai mitzvos. After all, what are we here for if not to be l'kai mitzvos? Secondary, la'avod, whether that's tefillah, whether that's Talmud Torah, that's certainly something that we put at the top of our list of responsibilities. La'amod b'nisayon. To withstand challenges, I mean, it's important, but one of the most important, I might have thought, I don't know, throw something out, what else is very important? Good, Avas Hashem, that's really top of my list. Anything else? Emuna, that's a great one, I would have taken that one in a second before Lamud Misayon. So what's it doing? It's like Gemilas Chasadim, like the mission of Avos. So, you know, it's a big one, it's an important one, one of the top three. So what in the world is this doing as one of the most important things? What is the Ramchal trying to tell us about Amidah b'Nisayon, about withstanding challenges that come our way? Why is it so crucial, so critical for every Jew? And we'll see in a moment, especially us who are B'nai Yeshiva. So of course, the first step in solving this problem, figuring out why it's so important, be La'amod b'Nisayonot, to figure out exactly what a Nisayon is. Now, we threw out a bunch of definitions so far. We said maybe it's a challenge, maybe it's an opportunity, maybe it's a hurdle. So the first thing we have to do is figure out what it really is. So we all know that when we're learning, and the first time we hit, you know, when we hit a word, we really don't know what it means conceptually. The first thing that we have to do is we have to see if it shows up anywhere in, what's that? Shastra, or perhaps a more godly book. Excellent, Tanakh. A good way to check. Wow, that was a good joke. Godly, the Shastra wasn't so prone, I think they say. So what we have to do is we have to look to see if it shows up anywhere in Tanakh. So luckily for me, the word Nisayon shows up pretty early without cheating. Anyone can see it, number 2 in the Marmakomos. Great. Embrace the Kerasal base, Pasuk Aleph. Fantastic. And we have the following story. Bezrat Hashem is to help us shed some light on what a Nisayon is. And it was after Abram finished the whole story with Avimelech. Velokim Nisad Abraham. God tested Abraham. Nisayon, Milash, Nisad. Vayom Reilav, Abraham. Vayom Reinini. So God had this idea. God wanted to test Abraham. God called out to Abraham. Abraham, God said, and Abraham said, "Here I am. What's going on here? What's the purpose of Nisayon? Why is Hashem going to test Abraham?" Look at the Ramban. Ramban al Torah sheds light on this idea and says as follows: "So Elokim Nisad Abraham." Oh, just be careful. I just noticed that the word Elokim is with Hashem. Hashem, so be careful. I guess maybe either keep these sheets or put them in shemos. Thank you. So Elokim Nisad Abraham, Inyan Hanisayon Hu Ledaati. So right now we know we're going to hit a home run with the Ramban. The Rabban's telling us right now, again, let's read together, Inyan HaNisayon Hu LeDa'ati. He's going to explain his approach, his belief, his interpretation of what Nisayon is. He says as follows, Ba'avur heyot ma'aseh adam reshut mukhlat biyado, im yirtzeh ya'aseh, im lo yirtzeh lo ya'aseh. So now, we have choice, we have this tuchir, we have the ability to do what we want to do. It says the Ramban, Yikra Nisayon mitara minuseh. So the word Nisayon is implying that the minuseh, us, the people, we're going to be tested. About Hamin Naseh, but the person who's testing us, i.e. God, Yitzarach, Yitzaveh bo lotzi ha-davar min ha-koach el-apua. So it says that Ramban is beginning to explain the purpose of a Nisayon, is that God looks and he sees all these wonderful people, and he wants to take their koach, take their potential, and bring it out to the actual. Liot lo schar ma'aseh tov, below schar lev tov levad. He wants people to get schar for actually doing something, not just thinking positive about something. Bidah, and then he continues and says, God tests the tzaddikim. Kishu yodea b'tzaddik shiaser v'tzono b'chefes lastiko yitzaveh oto b'nisayon. When God sees someone and knows that he's going to or have the ability to pass a test, God tests him. B'lo yivchan t'rishim er shelo yishmau. But God doesn't test the rishayim. Here's the kicker. V'hinei kol ha-nisyonot shebetorah u'tovat ha-minuseh. The purpose of nisyonot in this world are for our benefit. To sum up the Ramban quickly, What the Ramban basically said is that Hashem pushes us, Hashem tests us in order to provide us with the opportunity to excel and to grow. Hashem, Kaviyachol, Hashem, not Kaviyachol, Hashem really takes a good look at a nice child boy and he says, wow, this kid, he's got so much potential. This kid, to be the God of the world, to be awesome. I know he has it in him. So what Akash Baruch Hu does is he provides this nice yeshiva bachur from whatever town they come from with an opportunity to exercise your inner strength. And through exercising inner strength, he allows us, Akash Baruch Hu, to progress to the next level of our spirituality. Kind of like that exercise in general, right? You know, like the more you work out, the stronger you get. The less you work out, the more you tend to, you know, not strength. Or like basketball, you know, everyone, at least I knew when I was growing up that I potentially be an amazing basketball player. And of course, the more I practiced, the better that I got. So the same is true here. Nisayon is basically the way the Ramban explains it. It's a spiritual exercise. It's an opportunity to tone up and move on to the next level. So I figured now that we have a little bit of time here together, at least for another, I don't know how many minutes, maybe there's a good opportunity to pepper the sikha with some entertaining practical examples. So I open the floor to you guys. Anyone want to throw out, and then I'll dramatize it. Anyone want to throw out any misyonos that are open to people any age? Anyone want to throw any misyonos that we struggle with as a nation? I can throw my own, but you know, I'm interested in hearing. What do you guys struggle with? I struggle with Kass, apparently. I woke up, my daughter Leah. Anyone meet her before? She's a cute little kid, 2 years old. She has this thing of waking up in the middle of the night. I think it's something to do with her being toilet trained. She didn't see how old together. She calls up my bed in the middle of the night last night, and she brought with her little stuffed animal, which incidentally she named Chaim Moshe after Ezra's son. I don't know why. Little Leah shows up and I'm in bed and she was wide awake. Again, I had something to do with the potty training incident and she was for a while, I'm motion this, I'm motion that, I'm motion this, I'm motion that. after about 20 minutes, I took the baby and threw it out of the room. And so paced, at which point, of course, it's not nice to hear a two-year-old daughter yell, "My baby!" And then in the morning, Nimi told me that I have a caste issue and a chinuch issue. But that's my personal nisayon. Nimi's my wife, by the way. And that's my personal nisayon, a caste and apparently chinuch. Let's open up the floor. I just spilled my guts. What do you guys got? Come on. Night is young, boys. Should I throw one out there for you guys? I don't know. I imagine, let's just pretend, raise of hands, just joking. Television sometimes they say, I'm not saying whether it's good, I'm not saying it's bad, but I know in yeshiva sometimes that watching television, I don't know if we have iPod, iTouches, I don't know if we have wireless internet, or you have those cards from Cellcom, I don't know. You know, that at times could be something. People struggle with this? Anyone? All right, maybe I'm the only one. Just joking. So, there you go. Okay, fine. We got a winner. So it's something that we struggle with. You know, we struggle with typical things. You know, we grow up, we live in these societies. With is that everyone watches? I watched something for hours on end when I was in high school on college. So we watched it. You know, it's now we're working on it. We're trying our best. We're really overcoming the anxiety. It's been 2-3 weeks. We've been clean, as they say. You know what happens? And then our roommate comes in with this brand new high touch that mommy and daddy bought him. Sorry, packed with the newest episodes of The Office. So he runs to the room and says, "You won't believe what antics Jim has been up to. That wife's been going crazy lately." And you know, and there's two ways you can approach this. You can either say to yourself, you can say, "Oh, sorry. You know, I've been working so hard at Kodesh Baruch for the last 2 weeks. In fact, my roommate is from, comes in with a great show like The Office, which is relatively clean. It must be a sign that it's time for me to relax. Time for me to cuddle up underneath my down blanket in the freezing shelf and cold. Put my eye touch close to my face. No one will hear me. I make earbuds. Perfect." So that's one approach. One approach is, this is a sign from God. A sign from God that it's time to take a break. The other approach, of course, is that perhaps this is nisayon sent to you by God, sealed with a kiss. The opportunity for you not only to show your worth, but to increase it. The opportunity for you to say, you know, I don't care that Jack Bauer now has to save the world again from Muslim fundamentalism. I care more about, you know, that I have to wake up in the morning, early in the morning for chakras. That's one opportunity. I just, you know, picked it out of thin air of how we might have to deal with some of these issues. What else? Come on. There you go. Oh my goodness, that's great. That's such a great example. So, you know, everyone's going out for dinner these days. You know, you think for yourself again. You know, I don't know. I remember when I was in yeshiva, right? So yeah, everyone's going out for dinner. The whole yeshiva is leaving to go out for dinner. And of course, like my, you know, I haven't eaten meat. I'm probably low iron. I'm thinking to myself, I'm not happy. I feel good. My health is already, b'chaybahem, because nefesh. I better go out to eat. So Hashem, and I don't have to pay for it. So by going out, not only am I saving the yeshiva money, I'm saving my parents' money. It's kabbal, it's amazing. And then, of course, you know, anyone who's really honest with themselves realizes that perhaps it's just a nisayon tailor-made for you from God. And we were discussing this here in your sister's school, which I don't know if you know exists, in Malcha, Shalom Women. And we were discussing, like, you know, it's like parents are always coming to take the kids out for dinner. It's becoming very, a little bit difficult. So we're thinking, you know, maybe before each parent sees them, just send out, like, another email, angry email to the parents saying, "Please don't ruin your children's spiritual life." But just joking, we would never send an email like that. So, it's so hard because all year, from Sukkot to Pesach straight, people are always coming. It's a very tough nisayon. I'm not telling you to go or not to go. I'm just making you aware of the fact that that's a nisayon. Of course, we could have, you know, parenthetically, we speak of last week's parsha about the importance of continuity. The Shem Yishmu discussed it with the Lechos Yom HaVelad, day and night, why going day and night, because continuity is very important, especially in the Shiva world, that the more continuous your limud is, the more continuous your hashka and Torah is, obviously better it is, but that's not for now. Anyone want to play the game one more example? We can move on. I don't care. It's up to you. There you go.
Waking up for Shacharis.
See, the Shuvah has a good one, but I spoke about it, I think, when I gave Sichos Moshe last time, but we can talk about it again. And there's the rationale of, you know, that's a fine one for me. You know, waking up for Shacharis is certainly one of the most difficult things when you have to understand. This is one of the, you know, this is like you're really... I'm sure Ben can, Reuven can, Reuven Yamin can attest this also, that, like, you know, one of the luxuries of being a yeshiva bachar is that you can actually, like, get up early in the morning and be a minion on time early, and then as you progress in stages of life, it becomes increasingly more difficult. And again, this is something that's so easy to rationalize. You can think to yourself, you know, is there still the mini with the Surf King? Do you still have that Surf Minion? No?
Not the juice.
Right, whatever it is, the Surf Minion. you know, and it's such an easy thing to do, because you can play the game saying, oh, you know, I want to make sure to be awake for yeshiva all day, and I know that if I wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning, even though when I was in yeshiva, 6:45, chakras, how am I going to be awake? My learning is going to be for naught. I'll be wasting my time here. I'll be wasting, you know, my whole life if I wake up for the 7-10 minute chas v'shalom. Obviously, the lesson is that that is not just it's not God inviting you to crawl back into your covers, but that the alarm is, truthfully, it is an invitation for you to la'amod b'nisayon and grow in your avodat Hashem. So, excellent, very good. I appreciated those opportunities to just give those examples. But so up to this point, basically, with that way we've been understanding nisayon, I would think it is a very positive thing. Right? Bring them on. I want them. I want more of them. I want my friends to come in with their eye touches. I want my alarm to go off, and I want to think about pressing the buzzer. I want everyone to invite me out for dinner. Why? Only for the very reason I'll be able to overcome them and grow in my frumka and grow my avodah. Does that make sense? That seems to be the dream of all of us. The truth of the matter is, not so fast. Anyone tying into what you said before, anyone who does come to meeting before 7:10 in the morning knows that tefillah actually begins before mitzvah shir. You guys know that? Wild. People I know when I meet to, when I came to the first yeshiva, I figured that was amazing. Only in America do we say Berach Shachar and Karbanos. In Israel, they don't. No, they really do. So one of the wonderful tefillahs that we say as part of Berach Shachar and Karbanos, if you look at number 4 in the Mar Makomos, we have a piece of davening that really flies in the face of our interpretation of the Ramban. Remember, the Ramban seemed to say that Nisanos are a fabulously wonderful thing that can only help us grow. Check this out. And familiar with this? Beautiful prayer. Look at this. You should make Torah something that's like, oh, so much a part of our lives. You should let us cleave to your commandments. Don't bring us to sin. All different types of sin. Here's the kicker. Etc. So Birchas HaShachar, right in the beginning, we were just explaining according to Ramban how Nisyonot are the most wonderful thing in the world, giving us a tremendous opportunity to grow in our Baruch Hashem. And here comes the Siddur saying, not so fast, you should daven every day with Kavana, saying, Lo de Nisayon, God, please don't bring me to a point of Nisayon. But do we need them? Don't we need them? Do we want it? Don't we want it? What's our relationship to Nisyonot? The answer is found. One, it's not my question. It's the question of Rav Yecheskel Levinstein, better known as Rav Chatzkel. For those of you who don't know, Rav Chatzkel, he was mashkiach of the Mir in Poland, and later we went with the Mir to Kobe, Japan, and then to Shanghai, and then from Shanghai he went to America with the Mir. That wasn't working out in America. He couldn't really handle America, so he then came back in 1949. He came back to Israel, and he was mashkiach of the Mir in Shalim for a number of years. And I think when he was like 7 or 8 years old, he joined the staff of Panovich and became mashkiach of Nir Panovich. Okay, so he has a multi-volume sefer called Or Yecheskel, which is like his Musa stuff. It's great. It's highly recommended for those of you who want to learn these type of things. And he said as follows. Let's look together. Number 5 in Mar Makomos, I believe. Or Yecheskel, Chelek Gimel, page Resh Yotet, 219. It says, Kosav HaMasil Sisharim. So the Masil Sisharim writes, Ki Hadam Lo Nivra, Elo L'Kayim L'Got L'Avot L'Amot B'Nisayim. He quotes our Mishnah Sharm, who says that a person was only created to mekayim mitzvot, the la'avod, whatever that means, tefillah or Torah, and la'amod b'nisayon. Says, im kein, if that's true, then this is one of the reasons why we're created, heyechanu mispa'olim b'tefillah shachris, mevakshim v'al tivin lo l'nisayon. If nisayon is the reason why we were created, why in the world do we daven on a daily basis not to have it? El nireh, rather it appears, she'in kavanoto shalom la'amod b'nisayon kla. Obviously, we don't want to throw away all nisyonos. Not all nisyonos are bad. Ella, rather, kishem shenitba'er, shanisayon harishon shenotein hakadosh baruch hu adam hu nisayon lefi kofosav, sheyachol yitgaber al zeh. He says that when we first get challenges, when certain challenges first come our way, those are good, those are positive ones, those are the ones we want. What happens? But when we lose the opportunity, when we get that first Nisayon comes our way, we lose the opportunity. When that first opportunity to bust out of Seder and hang out in J-Town comes up, and we fall prey to that, it only gets harder. So it says, it's very blundish. It says Rav Chatzkel, the same dinim when it comes to nisyonos. There are two different types of nisyonos. Number one nisyonos, the regular everyday nisyonos that comes up. I want to go learn the Seder, but Shlomo just came back with the eye touch.
Seder. Those anisonos are opportunity. We can overcome them. We should overcome them. And we don't. We fail. And when we fail, says Chaskel, that's when the more difficult anisonos comes our way. It gets only harder for us.
Why?
That's what I said. Because I think that you guys learned now that's the right principle of Shira.
You know what I'm talking about? Very important. You should all learn that before you leave Yeshiva. Prince Abachira, Prince Abachira. It's a very, very important piece of Rebbe Dastar. I had a return. You all look at it. One of the things that Rebbe Dastar writes in Prince Abachira, he says that the more you fail, the more difficult it becomes to rise back to the top, because you condition yourself to fail. You condition yourself to not being able to overcome Yisyonos. So says Rebbe Chatzkel that the initial Yisyonos that come our way, those are the ones we can easily overcome. But as we fail, it becomes much more difficult. So he says, that's what we're davening for. We daven lo lidin yisayo, and we're saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please don't bring me to the point where I hit these difficulties and these issues that I can't overcome. So basically, we pray to Hashem to give us a little extra boost when it comes to those early challenges, so we never reach the later nisyonos. It's a great thing to have in mind when you're davening. Again, you know, but with Hashem, we should all get to shul 7 o'clock in the morning tomorrow morning. When we daven, we should have this in mind. We daven lo lidin yisayo, and we should daven Kadosh Baruch Hu, please don't bring me to the point where I have to get these, where I need to experience the extra nisyonos. So Chaskel further says, number 6, which we'll see in a second, along the lines of what we've been developing, he explains that the whole purpose of this world, everything that we do in this world, is basically a playing field for these nisyonos that are here to help us to improve and fine-tune our avodas Hashem. He writes as follows, put together number 6. He says, Kol habriya nivreis v'nisayon avur ha'adam. He says, the whole world is created to test a person. As Ramchal writes, Adam lo nivra el avod lamo b'nisayon, that a person only exists to face challenges. V'keivan shezu ikar b'riyas ha'adam, and because facing these challenges are better, these opportunities is the main purpose of man in this world. Cannot ikar v'tachlus kol abriya kul lahamidet adam b'nisayon. The purpose of everything in this world is just for us to deal with these nisyonos. And it's basically a test. This whole world is a test if we overcome them, the emunasa, with our belief, or whether we fail. And so what our role is, our goal in this world is, as nisyonos come our way, is to stand up to them and to conquer them, not chas v'shalom to fall. This is what all growth of all yeshiva students, everyone in general, is based upon. So it's always based upon overcoming the nisyonos that come your way. So Chaskel basically explained this whole world is a proving ground, an opportunity for us to grow. But the truth is, this really is not so plain and simple. The way I paint the picture, I painted it to be a very pretty one, a very rosy one, a very happy one. One that isn't difficult at all. But the truth is, though, the nisyonos that we've been discussing up to this point, whether it's eye touch, or whether it's minyan, or whether it's dinners, or whether it's whatever it might be, those are the nisyonos as they apply to the average yeshiva bracher who does lead a relatively calm and simple yeshiva life. We do at times come across very difficult hardships, and dealing with them can be very difficult, and sometimes even unrewarding. Even worse, sometimes nisyonos can seem unfair. I just heard a fantastic story. We had a speaker at in Shabbat for Women who we've had speak a number of times. I call him like one of my rebbes, even though I only heard him speak like 3 or 4 times. But sometimes you can hear a person speak just 1 or 2 times, and your mama should feel like everything comes from his mouth as emes. You ever had that before? Oh, you stop it, you dog. So there are times when, you hear someone speaking, you just feel like it's there, it's true. So this guy, his name is Rav Zachariah Wallerstein, and he's the head of this institute called Ornava. Ornava is a place in Brooklyn. He's heavily involved in Chinuch Habanos, which is all Bizocha, and he told the following story. He said, he deals with all types of students, and deals with, unfortunately, some who have dealt with a lot of hardships in their life. And he told the following story. He said, a girl came up to him once, a broken home, a very difficult home, a home that was, not like the homes we come from. There were, we're not getting into any details, any types of problems that we can imagine. And she went over to Rabbi Wallerstein, and she said to Rabbi Wallerstein, she said, why me? She was 18, 19, 20 at the time, I don't even know. Why me? Why? What did I do? Why was I born to this family? Why couldn't I have been born into a normal family like yours, Rabbi Wallerstein? What did I do to deserve it? It wasn't her choice. She had nothing to do with it. She didn't. She shouldn't choose what family she's born into. What happened? Tough question. Rabbi Wallerstein, he stroked his beard, which he doesn't have. They thought for a second, they said. Tell the following story to illustrate this point. It's actually three stories into one. Tell the following story in an attempt to answer this girl who was so confused as to why she was put into this difficult situation in life. And he said that one time when he was younger, an up-and-coming rabbi, he said he was asked by a member of the local community to speak in a drug rehab center. And he was very excited. He was very excited to speak in the rehab center because he thought this would be a real opportunity for him to make an impact. He worked very hard. He made the most amazing shiur in the world. He figured he could show them, MS of Torah, and then the whole drug rehab center would flush all the drugs down the toilet. And everyone would immediately dance around him and become firm like anything. So he gets ready. He has his high forces in a tie. And he puts his bag and he's ready to go. And he goes in. He's met at the door by one of the residents of this drug rehab facility. And the guy said, "Oh, how you doing? Welcome to the drug rehab facility." And I said, "Hey, thank you so much. Great to be here." And the guy said, "Okay, so like, what drugs were you into in high school? What do you do?" And Rabbi Wallerstein said, "Not really anything." "Oh, come on, nothing? You're smoking weed? Nothing? No, not anything. Acid? Nothing?" Rabbi Wallerstein said, "No." He's like, "So what are you doing here?" Rabbi Wallerstein said, "Well, I was asked to give a share." He said, "You think you can come in here and give us a share? You don't know anything about us. You don't understand us. How can you come here and preach in front of all these people and you can't even relate to us? Get out of here. Just leave. Leave me alone. We don't want to hear from you. We don't hear from you. Ugh, get away." Parenthesis, that is a similar story, not as dramatic. When I was at one point in my life, for a brief amount of time, I was a Rebbe and I had students who were all Bali Tshuva. So I remember one of my first encounters with them was when they came to my house from Lava Malka. It was like a program that came up from Lava Malka. And I was sitting around on my dining room table. That time I had begun. I remember now we saw ropes that night. It was very gross, crawling up the wall. And there we were at the dining room table eating pizza. And like they were all like, "Okay, so Rabbi, like, when were you chosen for tshuva?" I was like, "I wasn't." And then like right there, like all my credibility like went down the toilet. People in general can only identify, or they think they can only identify with people that have come from similar backgrounds as them. So that's exactly what happened here to Rabbi Wallerstein. Is that the drug addicts, the recovering drug addicts didn't want to hear from him at all. I figured, what does he have to say? So Wallerstein thought for a second, and he called his friend from high school. We'll call him Shlomo. And he called Shlomo up. Shlomo did deal with a lot of these issues in high school and in college. Shlomo was a terrible drug addict. He did all kinds of illegal substances, and he was in and out of rehab centers for 10 years of his life, and it was a very difficult life that he led. And Baruch Hashem, after about 10 years, he finally cleaned himself up, and he started a successful business. He made a lot of money, married a wonderful woman, and had wonderful children. So Rabbi Wallerstein called up his friend and he said, I need you to do me a favor. So what kind of favor do you need to do? He said, "Why don't you go to this rehab center to speak to these kids?" So the guy obviously thought, "There's no way I'm doing that. I'm not going to that place." But why not? Because, that's like a part of my life I want to forget. That's, I don't want anything to do with that. Baruch Hashem, my life is in the right direction right now. Like, I don't want to go back to that time and that place where I dealt with those issues. So Rabbi Wallerstein said, "I'll tell you why you should go. And I'll tell you a story." So this is story number three. It's part of my story. "There was once a man," said Rabbi Wallerstein, "who, absolutely true, full story. And every day he'd walk out of his house. He lived on a mountain. And outside of his house, the mountain was a big boulder. So he'd wake up every morning, walk out of it, eat some breakfast, walk out of his house. And as he stepped out of his house, he'd hear a bas kol come down from Shemayim and say,
'Push the rock.'
Look up in the morning, said, 'It must be God.' So he'd go, and he'd huge boulder. And he'd push a bunch of the big things up. Out of his neck, much like I do when I push big things, his muscles are popping, and it went on every single day, month after month, day after day, year after year, until about 3 years after, every single morning, God's yelling, 'Push the rock!' And he goes out and pushes the rock, and to no avail. So one day he walks out of his house, and there's an angel there snickering at him, and he's like, so the guy says, the boulder pusher, he says, 'Who are you?' The guy says, 'I'm an angel. Great to meet you.' The guy said, 'Well, what are you doing here?' He said, 'Well, I wanted to meet the guy who was like so stupid that he pushed rock every morning. And that's you.' 'What do you mean I'm so stupid that I push rock every morning? God tells me to.' So the angel says, 'Of course God tells you to. But you know what he says before he tells me to push the rock? He says, "Everyone come here, time for comedy hour. The idiot's going to push a rock again." And day after day, year after year, month after month, you come out of your house and you push the rock. "Great to meet you. Can I have your autograph?" The guy's really upset. He's really, 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 really upset. And he storms off. Storms off, he's going to town to get a drink. On his way into town to get a drink, he sees there was a delivery truck delivering, RC Kol Yeshiva Chabin, and the delivery truck tipped over, and underneath the delivery truck was a guy yelling to him,
help me, I'm stuck, my leg.
And so comes our friend, the older person, and he says, oh, you're stuck? It'd be a pleasure. And he goes, and he lifts up the truck, and the guy comes out. Wow. Amazing. What's the moral of the story? The moral of the story is that this guy thought he was an idiot for pushing the rock. He said, God's playing a trick on me, telling me to push the rock every day. The truth was, this guy's challenge in his time was never to push the rock. Never to move the rock. And his time was always was to build muscles in order to be able to help and save that guy. So also during while seeing this friend, the former drug addict, said, look, you went through some very difficult, tough times in your life. You have to understand. The reason why you went, one of the reasons why you went through some of these very difficult, tough times in your life, is in order to prepare you to give back to the people who you can identify with. So Rav Wallerstein said, I beg you, my friend, please go and please help these kids. Give them a half-hour speech about how they can let them improve. And the guy said, okay, you win, great story, it's a pleasure. He went out there and he didn't stay there for the 45 minutes that was allotted to him. He was there for 6 hours, the recovering drug addict. And Baruch Hashem, he did tremendous hashpa on the kids in the rehab center. So, Rav Wallerstein says to this girl, came over from a very difficult family, says, well, why did God put me in this tough situation? So Rav Wallerstein said to the girl, he said, because one day you're going to have a beautiful family, I'm sure of it. You marry an amazing, amazing husband, surely from Shabbat Shalvim, and you have an amazing home, and one day, I don't know, maybe your daughter will have a friend that she'll bring home, or maybe just you'll meet someone in shul, and you'll bring a girl home for Friday night dinner, she'll have a wonderful time, and then she'll, after the meal, she'll confide in you, and she'll say, she'll tell you about all her problems, about the difficult family she's brought up, and all the challenges she has, and how she's never going to make anything of herself. And you're going to say to her, she says to this young lady, that you think you had a tough look at the situation I had, and I overcame that, let's talk, let's schmooze. And Rav Wallerstein said that's the reason why sometimes we go through very difficult times in our life. So it's not necessarily true that we can't always overcome every difficulty that we hit, but sometimes the difficulties that we hit can help us help others in the future. And I'm sure as you get older in life, you'll see that some of the difficulties that you've, I certainly said myself, the difficulties that I've encountered in life have certainly helped me help others. So the point up to this point is that whether it's an easy, small misayon like a misayon of the eye touch, or much larger misayon that comes from a difficult family, you're having other, Baruch Hashem, these are issues that we have to deal with, I don't think, whether it's, substance abuse issues. A lot of times, misayon that we encounter in life are preparing us to help others as well. So, just finish the end here by the number six, Rav Chasko Siroyim, the second paragraph, number six says, this is the point of nisayon shemitnase b'kashiyim u'michsholot, that we are tested with difficult things, challenged with difficult things, and in spite of the difficulties we face, the challenges we face, matzliach u'tgaber lehem, we overcome them. V'zu aleinu l'dat, this we have to know, shekol ha'kfira she'anu shomim, any bad thing or bad word or difficult thing that we hear, and any bad thing that we see, matarata rakhanasot ta'adam, is just to test us, to give us opportunities to grow. It's just a matter of giving us opportunity to see if we pass the test, etc. So it says what Rav Chasko ends up here saying is saying that the point of Nisayon is not about overcoming, sometimes about not giving up. So to sum up what we said to this point is that the purpose of Nisayon isn't to trip us up. Rather, the purpose of Nisayon is an opportunity to encourage us to go further, exercise ourselves to achieve greatness. That's why, according to Ramchal, Nisayon is one of the top three things that we come across, because it's so crucial and so critical for Avodas Hashem and our growth. And if we take a minute, and we reread the beginning of the Mar Makom, that person says the Sharam, and it makes a lot of sense. Let's take one look quickly. It says as follows. In Tzinu Lemedim, we see ki ikar metzias ha'adam ba'olam hazeh, the purpose in this world, who rak lekayim mitzvos ula avod v'lamod b'nisayon. So the purpose in this world is just to mekayim mitzvos, to do avoda and lamod b'nisayon. And he says v'hanas ha'olam, this makes so much sense now. V'hanas ha'olam, everything in this world ein ra'ui shiyelo ela ezor l'siyo b'vah. All the physical things in this world are just to help us. V'shiyelo nachas ruach v'yishubdas d'man yuchal l'fonos le'bol avoda azod v'lamod b'nisayon. And the whole purpose of this whole world, says Ramchal, a little bit of different explanation than we might have originally thought, is just to help us grow, to help us get closer to Hashem. And one of the reasons why I love so much speaking here, aside from the fact that I went to yeshiva, is that because I like sound a little cheesy, right? Because I teach in a girls' school, that left. Okay, I guess I'll do it anyways. Thanks for that vote of confidence in this very very difficult moment for me. But because really the truth is, and this is, you can look at the history of Shalvin, the guys, the graduates of Shiva Shalvin in general become real strong couples in Kol Yisrael. People in this room, Bezrat Hashem, in 10, 13, 15 years from now are going to become, you know, major players, major contributors to Judaism both here and in Eretz Yisrael, here and in America. And I tell the girls all the time that every single person in this room is motivated. How do I know? I mean, at least I know from the girls that, you know, when I go around the country and around the world interviewing students for Shalvin for Women, one of the first questions I ask them is like, you know, what do you want to accomplish in your year? What's your number one goal for a year in Israel? And what do they all say? I want to grow. And the truth is, some of them say, can you be a little more specific? And I always say, like, this is a good one. I say, did I say this last time? So can you be more specific? So I say, can you be more specific? But, you know, something like tefillah or lashon hara. Oh my gosh, you picked the two things that I really want to grow in. So I'm sure, had I been, I'm so happy this is being recorded. I'm fired tomorrow. So, I'm sure that if I did I used to be two boys this year, they asked me to give a presentation to the boys and the girls, to the boys and the girls. So I was like, so I'm tired, great, fantastic. I never had a presentation to the girls, to the boys, walking in the room, and then the boys were in the same room. So that was, I guess, probably the first co-ed presentation ever for Yeshiva Shalvin. I'm not a bit. So, but the truth is, I'm sure many of you were asked by the Rebbeim and Yeshiva when you were interviewed, what is your goal in Yeshiva? What do you want to accomplish? I'm sure you all invariably said the same thing. You said, you want to grow. And you're not liars. Of course you want to grow. Why else would you come to Yeshiva? Why would you come to Yeshiva? Well, would you come to Shiva Shalvin if you didn't want to grow? That wasn't one of your primary goals. Aha! That's the question I have to ask. Why is it that some of us do, some of us don't? Wow, that's a question that's been plaguing us for a long time. But I'll tell you the answer. The answer is that we love kochos. When we said to that Rebbe who interviewed us that we want to grow, we meant it. We meant it from a perspective of potential. We had it inside. We had it inside to grow. But sometimes the difficulty is taking that desire for growth, taking that potential for growth, and bringing it out and actualizing it. That's the challenge. That's the responsibility of being a Ben Yeshiva. That's the responsibility that we wake up with every single morning. How today am I going to actualize my koach to grow? How today am I going to become a better person, someone who's close to Hashem? How today am I going to prepare myself for the avoda that I'm going to have with Hashem as I continue and grow in my life? And that's where Nisyonos come in. Whether it's a small one, should I go to the makolet during Seder or not? Should I discuss, you know, the dinner I had last night or not? Should I wake up in time or not? Should I spend the night schmoozing with my roommate or should I go to sleep? Not that schmoozing is not good, schmoozing is not good. But should I wake up till, I can't say I'm recording. So, you know, should I stay up to 5 o'clock in the morning playing on Game Boy? Should I brick breaker in the middle of the night or should I go to sleep? These small nisyonos, these little things that we encounter on a daily basis, are what makes us or breaks us in yeshiva. That's the purpose of nisyon. Nisyon are given to us every single day to encourage us to use as springboards towards our growth. And we'll end with number 7, and we'll sum it up in about a second. Rav Chatzkel says, he gives us the secret to being to standing up to the challenge that we face. This is as follows. Emunah. He says,